English Across the Pond. Hi, hello, hey there, how are ya? Welcome to English Across the Pond. This is a podcast dedicated to helping English learners speak more confidently and fluently. Our natural conversations here and every single Friday will show you how two native speakers communicate together. Who are these native speakers, you ask? They're your hosts of this podcast. I am one half. I am Jennifer, and I'm from the U.S.
Hey, Jennifer. I'm the other half. My name is Dan. Listen carefully, I'm from Northwest Europe, Northeast England. And this month, December 2021, we have got a special request. We would love you to help us so that we can help you. Is that, yeah? We would love to move English Across the Pond forward in 2022. So we've created a short survey that we would love for you, your friends, pets, everybody, to complete, to fill out, to fill in. This would be a great way for you to show your support for us, especially if you've been a long-time listener. We'd really appreciate your input because your feedback is really, really, really important.
As an extra incentive and a thank you, we are offering a free membership giveaway. So everyone who completes this survey will be entered in to win 1 month of our free premium membership, the membership for this podcast. That membership includes the transcript of the episodes, the PDF vocabulary and definitions, and opportunities to join 7 weekly group speaking calls. So these happen every single week, among some other things as well. This giveaway is also open to our current members. You too have the opportunity to win a free month. So again, this will be incredibly helpful for us, very valuable. We really ask that you do this, and you can complete it by going to our website. You'll find it everywhere on englishacrossthepond.com. However, the quickest way would be for you to enter into your browser, englishacrossthepond.com/community. And again, we thank you, thank you, thank you for taking the time for this survey for us. Thank you.
Winners will be notified on or around the 1st of January 2022. On with the show. Which brings us nicely round to today's topic. We're looking at an article from the Huffington Post. It's from 2017, but it's still completely relevant for today. And it's called 96 Differences Between American and British Culture. 96. Come on, guys, 4 more. You could have got to 100. But anyway.
I know.
Maybe it's their lucky number or, you know, I don't know. Differences between American and British culture. Now, obviously, well, this article was written by Whitney K. Bacon, which looks like an anagram in a crossword, who is an American living in England for nearly 4.5 years with my beautiful wife, Megan. Can Whitney be a boy's name, or is that a female-female relationship?
It's a female-female relationship. If you scroll up,
oh,
she is a blogger, vlogger, gay rights activist, and ultimate foodie.
Good for her. So I can look at these, and of course I can, you know, see if I agree with them or not. For example, the British are judged on which supermarket they shop at. Number one, this is. The British are judged. It should say the British judge each other on which supermarket they shop at. And the hierarchy often goes like this. Waitrose, M&S, Sainsbury's, Tesco, Asda, Lidl, Aldi. And you know what? True. It's totally true.
judged on and how? How are you judged?
Well, if someone tells you like, oh, you know, we just popped to M&S to get some, you know, lunch, you're like, ooh, someone comes from money. It's kind of fancy pants. It puts them in a kind of like middle class bracket. Having said that, Lidl and Aldi, which I think are both German, Aldi, I think, definitely is. They are usually much more environmentally conscious. There's a reason that Aldi's cheap. They don't go over a board on packaging. And so, and you know, wonky, not straight fruit, for example, or not straight vegetables. So whereas in the posh, the more upmarket supermarkets, all the produce will be perfectly formed and very shiny and beautifully displayed. In Aldi, it'll just be dumped on the side in a box, but that saves thousands of air miles and, you know, pesticides and things like that. So there is actually some people who have got the money but shop differently for environmental reasons.
Interesting. I don't know why she would put this as a difference, because there is a little bit of that here, like Whole Foods. Whole Foods is like the higher end organic health food store that's unarguably more expensive. And so even like a friend yesterday was like, she had strawberries. I was like, oh God, those strawberries look so good. I'm like, where are they from? And she said Whole Foods. And I was like, oh, went fancy this week.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Because it's like known, like the strawberries she got at Whole Foods, which she wanted them because they were organic, you know, was probably like $5 for a little container.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where you can get non-organic strawberries at Vons for $2.50.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Higher end. So there is a little bit of that there. Aldi just came to my hometown.
It's good.
The little town I grew up. I went because it had a lot of hype. There was a lot of buzz around the opening of Aldi. There was not one single thing in that store I would buy.
Okay.
Maybe produce. I wasn't there really to get produce, but all of it seemed a lot of like packaged processed food, and like they had nothing vegan, like no vegan cheeses, no vegan delis, like none of the vegan alternatives either. So I was like, well, I'm not coming back to you.
Our Aldi is packed with vegan stuff. What's produce? Produce? Yeah. What's produce? What's that? Produce.
What produce.
What's that?
Like vegetables and fruits. What?
Okay.
Produce. The produce section.
As we call it, the fruit and vegetable section.
Ah, yeah, like the forecourt, the area in front of a building.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay, so a difference here culturally is the use of the word pissed.
Yeah.
The Brits have a lot of uses for this word pissed, where I think Americans have two. So how do you use the word pissed? What are the various ways you use pissed?
Pissed off. And we should say this is an expletive. Do not use this in your job interview or with your wife's mother. It's slightly rude. Not so terrible, but it's slightly rude. The most common way is to be drunk. I was really pissed last night means I was really, really drunk. We don't use, I think, contrary to what's written in this article, we don't really use it on its own to mean angry, annoyed, or upset. We make it into a phrasal verb to be pissed off. An adjective with a preposition, pissed off. So we don't actually say I'm pissed. If somebody said I'm pissed and they meant I was angry, they may even say it with an American accent, because it's we consider it like it's a very, oh my God, I was so pissed. Like we would do it in a joking way because we're using a phrase from another language.
And raining cats and dogs?
Yeah, pissing it down. Yeah, yeah, definitely. But then, you know, because it's a very rainy island, we have hundreds and hundreds of words for rain, hundreds of expressions for rain, which most other countries don't have. But raining Ooh. Cats and dogs is like it's absolutely chucking it down. The heavens have opened. Raining cats and dogs, pissing it down. Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Not so many here, especially in Southern California.
No.
We can also, so we definitely use, oh God, I was so pissed. I was so mad. I was so pissed.
Yeah, sure.
I'm pissed off also, we could say, but like, it's kind of like call someone or call someone up. You know, the phrasal verb exists, but we don't need to use pissed off.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to take a piss.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you say that?
Do you guys say that?
Yeah, yeah,
I,
yeah.
No, God. Me personally, no, that's disgusting. It's so rude. It's so, like, vulgar. And that, of course, means you have to go use the toilet to urinate.
Don't.
To go, to take a piss.
Yeah, no, no, but I, but if somebody did say it, you'd know what they meant. Like, you do say it.
Oh, yeah.
You don't mean, like, you as in plural you.
Me personally. Yeah. Mm-mm.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
Can I do yeah.
It says like number six, we're not going to get very far with this 96. Number six, drinking alcohol profusely, meaning in great quantities. Drinking a lot of alcohol is encouraged at most work events and the rejoicing together the next day with a unanimous hangover. I'll translate that. At work events, everybody drinks a lot, and the next day, everybody has a hangover together, a headache from alcohol. I think this, in my opinion, is like maybe the 1990s, or alcohol nowadays is, it's considered differently. I mean, you know, lots and lots and lots of young people here don't drink and never will drink, just like, kind of like cigarettes was, you know, like how people sort of like, of course I don't smoke. Why would I smoke? It's bad for me. We have got at least the beginnings of a non-alcohol culture. So this idea of everybody getting drunk in the 80s and the 90s, most definitely. But I think now, like more and more, if people just want to have a glass of water or like because they do yoga or they're going for a run in the morning, you know, self-care and like physical fitness. I think this, in my opinion, this is outdated, this idea that drinking profusely is encouraged at most work events. Maybe in some work cultures, but I think it's a thing of the past.
Thank you for clearing that up and positively representing your country.
Just trying to tell it like it is.
My US-UK difference is highlighting that sometimes in American English, we will use the brand name instead of the actual item name.
Oh, yeah.
The UK. British English does it as well. Portuguese speakers, like my Brazilian family and friends, like there are products and things in Brazil that also use the brand name. But what I'm seeing here is that we do different things. So like a Band-Aid is a brand name for a plaster.
Yeah.
We call them Band-Aids. You call them?
Plasters.
Plaster. So like, oh, I just scraped my knee. Can you go get me a plaster?
Yeah.
So I would, if someone said that to me, I'd be like, a what?
A what?
I mean, now obviously I know, but like a plaster, what do you mean?
Yeah, yeah. And of course, just to, it's the thing, a plaster, it's sticky and you get it from the box, the first aid box. You peel off kind of, they take off the paper on the back and you stick it on a little child's knee and the pain miraculously disappears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Q-tips? What are Q-tips?
Q-tips are often what we call them. It's a brand name for those sticks with two little cotton balls on the end.
Yeah. Somebody.
You call them?
Mm-hmm.
What do you call them?
Cotton buds. Cotton buds.
A cotton bud. That is such a cute. It reminds me of a bunny rabbit.
Yeah. Us too. That's why we stick them in our ears. Somebody I know has got like a reusable, environmentally friendly Q-tip.
Ding, 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 ding. That's me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's a brand called Last Object. So I couldn't say like, oh, has anyone seen my last object? No, I would be has anyone seen my reusable Q-tip?
Nice.
So two brand names that American English uses that you use the actual things of what they are.
Yeah.
This website has two brand names that you use that we use the actual thing. So the first is cream cheese, what you spread on a bagel.
Philadelphia.
So you say, oh, I'm going to have a bagel with Philadelphia?
Yeah.
So strange to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is it strange? Well, bagels aren't really common there.
You can get them. People, you know, more and more. You know, we're diversifying slowly but surely. You can get a bagel. My daughter likes a bagel with Philadelphia. But you, if you said cream cheese, people would know what you meant.
Yeah. A bagel with Philadelphia. I mean, people, I think, from context would get it. I've never heard that in my life.
And in case you're wondering, like, Philadelphia is, of course, a brand of cream cheese here in the UK.
Yes. And it's one of the most popular here in the US as well. Okay. But still, yeah, it just, I mean, this is the same thing with us saying Band-Aids and Q-tips and you not, you know? Indeed. It just is that the difference. The second one is the vacuum.
Do you not call it a Hoover?
So that is one where I feel like if you said it, maybe you would understand. Maybe some people do, but to me it feels kind of outdated or archaic.
Yeah.
Because Hoover is a very popular vacuum brand name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but my vacuum broke.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, I need a new vacuum.
Yeah, having said that, I think if you and I had a Hoover company here in the UK, we wouldn't label it as a Hoover. I think it is slightly actually outdated, archaic slightly. Mm. I agree.
It's a vacuum.
When I was a kid, I spilt a real load of water everywhere, and I thought it would be a good way to get rid of it would be to Hoover it up.
So you use Hoover as a verb as well?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Oh.
It wasn't a good thing to do.
No, that could break it, right? Did it break?
Well, you know, electricity and water mixing together. It was, I was on a highway to disaster.
So did you go to the ER, the emergency room?
No, and we just say, like, did you go to ER? Strangely, we don't put the in. We would say the emergency room, but like, oh my God, let's go to ER. When we call it the two initials, we drop the definite article. ER, yet strangely. Or A&E, we call it A&E. What do you call it?
I've never heard of A&E. We go to, if it's outside of your normal doctor's office hours.
Yeah.
Your primary care physician, your PCP, then you would go to to the ER, the emergency room.
Wow.
Or typically that is the ER is typically 24 hours.
Yeah, that's A&E.
Generally more expensive.
Oh.
The alternative is urgent care.
Oh.
And we don't call that UC or anything. It's called urgent care. It's like on my insurance card that I happen to have right here, I have a primary care visit cost, an urgent care visit cost, and an ER visit cost.
All right.
And just to share it, all insurance is going to be different. This is an old one I used to have. My urgent care visit would be a $35 copay.
Wow.
My ER visit cost would be $350 as a copay.
For you to pay?
For me to pay. And then that just kind of admits me into do kind of the standard of care.
Wow.
Then, depending on what I received in urgent care or in the ER,
yeah, you get a bill.
I might have to pay, I will get a bill of like medicines or IV administration or anything like that.
We have absolutely nothing like that whatsoever.
Because it's universal care, right?
Yeah.
So it's taken out of your taxes?
Yeah. So it's the idea that everybody pays in. It was in the wake, the aftermath of the Second World War, and we were a country on our knees. We were, you know, everyone was like tired and lots of dead people and stuff, and so everyone decided kind of like we're either to get through this together or we're not going to get through this. This is very different from the country England, Britain, the UK now. This is obviously like 60 years ago. But the idea, and there's a name for it, but basically everybody pays in every week whenever you get paid, and you... If I now need to go to urgent care, there's no such thing as like a credit card in a hospital. They just don't exist. You just don't see them. There is no payment. There's nothing in your bank, or it just doesn't happen. It's just all free. But of course, it isn't free because everybody pays in. But that means a homeless person or whoever it is, even if they haven't paid in, even if that person hasn't paid in, it makes no difference. It's free. Oh, there's this phrase from like 1946, and it's like free at the point of care or something. I can't remember it now. It seems an American friend of mine, like one of her friends, needs a biopsy, but they haven't got $9,000. It's just so opposite to, I just can't understand. It's very weird for me to think about medical help in that way. Like, what do you mean you haven't got the money? It's not about money. It's about being well, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, don't think it's free. It's not free. You know what I mean? That's a myth. You know what I mean? But it is free at the point of whatever it is, the thing I can't remember, you know?
You show up and you don't pay anything when you show up.
And there never could be any question of you paying. There's no way. Like I say, like there are no methods to pay any money in any hospital. It just doesn't exist. You can't.
And so is the ER, or I'm sorry, is ER and A&E different?
Yeah, sorry. I was only saying like, I thought you were saying like our ER. I mean, we wouldn't say the ER, but also we don't have ER. Sorry, that was my mistake. It's A&E here, A&E. But then also our normal doctor is a GP. He's the standard doctor, and that means...
General practitioner.
Do you have that too?
A GP, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't... Maybe, but I think like, oh, he's a GP. I think that would be like, oh, like my husband's a doctor. Oh, he's just like a GP.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a general practitioner. Like he's not a brain surgeon a neurologist. Yeah, yeah. But our doctors are typically called PCPs, primary care physicians.
PCP. Nice.
PCP. I feel like we should do one more.
Yeah, sure.
As you may or may not know, America likes fast food.
Uh-huh. I've heard of that, yeah.
So you can find a fast food drive-through basically on every single corner.
Yeah.
What about you? Let me elaborate. I was trying to be like mysterious. Does the UK have a lot of drive-through fast food places?
Yeah. That's easier for me to deal with. A case in point is my lovely town, Scarborough, on the northeast coast of the UK, a small town. And on the way in, as you come off the A64, you go by a supermarket like Morrison's. There's a gas station there. No, lovely forecourt. And there was a fish and chip shop there. But for some reason, I'm not sure why, the fish and chip shop closed and they're opening a drive-through Costa. Costa is a British Starbucks. And I think maybe a Dunkin' Donuts. So my friend across the pond, we are becoming more and more Americanized. If we drove for a few hours around, you would see the occasional kind of like drive-through Starbucks or the occasional one. I think if me and you drove to Manchester, we'd see like maybe three or four, but they're not prolific by any means. But they're on their way because, like I say, I live in a small town and they're building one right on the edge of town. There's also there's a drive-through McDonald's there as well.
What are they building on the edge of town?
Drive-through Costa Coffee, drive-through Dunkin' Donuts next to the already drive-through McDonald's. So it's happening.
Interesting.
Yeah. Live here in the UK.
When I was in New Zealand with my
then boyfriend, now husband, doing a van road trip in New Zealand. It was 2010?
Yeah.
2010? And we were like driving all around, and I have a picture like going through all of our old pictures.
Uh-huh.
There's a picture of me like with the biggest grin, like smiling from ear to ear, holding McDonald's French fries.
Oh.
And it was just like, oh, finally some normalcy, I think was my comment.
Yeah.
Oh, God, boy, have things changed.
Yeah, yeah. Some real food for a change.
Yeah. Not only have I realized that the U.S. McDonald's French fries are not vegan, they use some kind of beef seasoning.
Yeah, yeah. Also,
I would just never eat. I would never eat there now.
Yeah, yeah.
You couldn't. I wouldn't be caught dead eating McDonald's.
Wow. Interesting. So out of 96, I think we did six.
I think so. I kind of like bunched a couple up together. Mm-hmm. But I see part two on our horizon.
Yes, indeed.
We want to know, A, did you like this episode? Do you like hearing about these US and UK cultural country differences? And what did you find to be the most interesting?
And of course, how does it compare with your neck of the woods?
Yes. Take it to Telegram.
Lovely.
We will talk to you all soon. Thanks so much.
Until the next time.
Bye-bye-bye.
Bye-bye-bye-bye. Hello and welcome back. This is The Language Focus, the part of the podcast where we take a closer look at some of the vocabulary from this week's chat. What you're going to hear is part of a longer conversation, over 10 minutes, that is available to our members. If you'd like to hear the full conversation, head over to englishacrossthepond.com/membership to find out more. To be on your knees, on one's, your, my knees. If you're on your knees, you can maybe imagine, it's a very descriptive expression, you are extremely weak after a very difficult period. So I use the example in the podcast of my country, Britain, after the Second World War. A huge effort went into the war, so there was very little food, a lot of people had died, the economy was dead in the water, and so the country was on its knees. A person could be on their knees as well if they've just come out of hospital, they've been in a bad relationship, and you could say, at that point, I was really on my knees. A business too could be on its knees if, of course, it's facing closure or, you know, having great financial difficulty. COVID, of course, has brought a lot of businesses, especially in the travel industry, to their knees. Nice. By any means necessary. By any means necessary. This means you will do anything to complete the goal, to succeed, to reach your aim. Means here, M-E-A-N-S, means, the definition of means here is a method, a way to do something. So this expression means by any method necessary or by any way that is necessary. This expression may just be used by somebody who is very determined. I will climb that mountain by any means necessary. It may also be used potentially to indicate that somebody might use fair means or foul, someone may be willing to break the rules, break the law maybe. I'm going to get that money by any means necessary. Ooh, maybe there's something sinister, something bad here. So sometimes by any means necessary can imply, can suggest that somebody's going to do something that maybe they shouldn't do. And the last one for this language focus, wouldn't be caught dead. I wouldn't be caught dead. He wouldn't be caught dead. She wouldn't be caught dead. Caught, of course, is the past tense of catch. And catch here means to discover or to see or to realize. So we catch somebody, like the police catch criminals, they find them. So you can catch somebody doing something. It means that you see them doing something or you discover them doing something. So what this actually means is wouldn't be caught dead, wouldn't be seen dead, wouldn't be found dead. You wouldn't find me doing this. And we use this expression, wouldn't be caught dead, when we really, really, really dislike something. Jennifer was talking about Mackie D's, McDonald's, and she obviously doesn't like McDonald's. If you want to know why, you can email her at admin@englishacrossthepond.com and say, "Dear Jennifer, what's wrong with McDonald's?" She will tell you.